One, two, three, four, dots.
All right, I got dots.
Chewy, gummy dots.
All right, start her up and go.
Gonna listen to it for a little bit. It's very spacey. Let's go pew pew pew. Hello and welcome to the Higher Things simulcast. This is episode 19 of our podcast. I'm Sandra Ostapowicz, and I'm here with Pastor Donovan Riley.
I am the hummingbird of Lutheran theology, just humming, vibrating.
Or okay, and little. And Pastor Christopher Gillespie. Producing the show.
Hello there.
So, as usual, we are highly organized, daringly Lutheran, and I don't know what we're talking about yet. What are we talking about tonight?
Well, we could talk about Gillespie's wonderful peaberry coffee that I just had that got me all jacked up and excited. Mm. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Order it. You can actually order it. Chris, where's your website?
CoffeeByGillespie.com.
CoffeeByGillespie.com. And that wasn't even a plug. I really do drink your coffee. It's delicious. So I guess it is a plug.
That's a Kenya peaberry, right?
Kenyan peaberry. I just like saying Kenyan peaberry. but sounds like a Captain Crunch flavor. Kenyan peaberry.
But, oh, I like that too much.
I thought, yes, I thought we'd talk about atheism, actually, if that.
Oh, all
that'd
right.
Be fun. Being a former atheist myself, being raised by an atheist, I always find it amusing to discuss religion and theology and faith with other atheists, because when they find out that I was an atheist, it just sends the conversation off in an entirely different direction, because they just can't, for the most part, most atheists I talk to can't wrap their mind around how I could have been an atheist and now I'm a Christian. It's almost like a mystery to them. Like, they've got to figure out the riddle, because it just doesn't click. Atheists don't become Christians. They don't convert. And here I am. So,
well, I was an atheist too for like 4 weeks. When I was just an itty-bitty baby. And then I was baptized, and God made me not an atheist anymore.
I was an atheist. It was a difficult time for me.
It was really rough. You know,
it was my first year of college.
You know, screaming, I was crying, bawling. Yeah.
Again, just like your first year of college. Exactly. Yeah. That would be my first year of college, actually. but I thought, instead of talking about atheism the way that we kind of usually talk about it, which is kind of asking the question, well, you know, do you know any atheists, or have you read any literature by an atheist like Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens, or the really good atheists like Nietzsche and Feuerbach? I thought we'd look at it from the theological side of things, because for myself and for you and for our listeners, we all know somebody who's an atheist or, you know, professes to be an agnostic. They're not sure. But one of the things that I've noticed that's changed in my lifetime is that when I was growing up, and even in the college, the people I knew in college who were atheists, we were violently opposed to Christians. Like, we were angry at Christians and considered them very stupid, very narrow-minded, uninformed people, weak-minded people. But nowadays, when I talk with atheists, I get some of that, but it's not very often. More often than not, the atheists I encounter are just really apathetic about the whole topic of God and belief. They're not, you know, it's not, I think you're stupid and I think you're running away from reality and God's a crutch. It's, you know, I got a good life. I got a relative, you know, I'm comfortable. You know, I've got friends. I've got a good job. I'm relatively satisfied with my life. So I don't really care.
I've kind of seen the same thing. I wasn't personally an atheist, like I said, for very long. But I do have a lot of experience with them. I was friends with a number of atheists in college and after that. And, you know, it's kind of odd, because so often we would agree on so much, even about Christianity.
Right.
Because, you know, they would say, well, I can't worship a God who does that. And look at all the hypocrites out there. And Christians are just dumb. All they want to do is convert you. And that's the only reason they want to talk to you and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I would totally agree with that, because that's how things were or are for a lot of atheists, and that's their context for understanding Christianity. It's very rarely about the actual gospel or about God of scriptures. It's about feelings and experiences. And today, I don't, like you said, I don't see that kind of, anger, mm-hmm. or bitterness that you see so much. It's still there. People who are atheists because mommy made them go to church when they were little and bathe regularly and eat green beans. And so now they're atheists because they don't have to. But mostly people just, I think, don't care. They can be spiritual and not religious and essentially be atheist and do just fine.
Well, let's break it down, actually, because you made that point twice that, you know, you were born an atheist and then you were baptized. And I don't think that's really the way that...
That doesn't count?
No, that's a mulligan.
Okay.
You dropped the ball in the freeway, in the fairway.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, but I mean, I think as Lutherans, we certainly talk a way that is... It was even, you know, it was very strange to me. I'm still, it still sounds very alien to me, or kind of alien to me all these years after becoming a Lutheran, the way that Lutherans will talk about atheism and conversion versus American evangelical Christianity, or just most Christians in general, regardless of denomination, that I was an atheist until I was 24, and then I had a conversion experience, and then these things happened, and then I was baptized, and so on. And it's a process. It's usually described, right, as a process. You know, you go from point A to point B. Whereas when you talk with Lutherans who have kind of thought it through or had this conversation, they'll talk about before baptism and after baptism versus I was an atheist, then I wasn't an atheist in the kind mm-hmm. of progressive way of thinking about it, I guess. So what do you mean by that? You know, I was an atheist until I was baptized.
Well, as Lutherans, we believe that we are born blind, dead, and enemies of God. We hate God, and he pretty much hates us right back. But it's we don't believe in God. We just does not exist. And as fully sinner as we are from birth, that is kind of our default. There is no default neutral agnostic. Maybe he's there, maybe he's not. That's not the default kind of position that we are born into. And then that is shaped. It's a death and life, a totally different thing from not believing to believing. And that's not something that we can take any credit for. That happens to us.
Is there ever a time when a person is not an atheist?
I would say the old Adam could be considered an atheist. Yeah. I mean, unless you want to count, you know, believing in yourself as God. And wanting to be God yourself as not atheism, but...
Well, wouldn't that be the default position? Because this is really, we're talking First Commandment yeah. stuff. This is, yeah. you know, like the psalmist says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Right.
And so theologically, we would say there is no such thing as a true atheist, or as a professor of mine once said, if there were ever a real, honest-to-God atheist, he would cease to exist. You know, because you can't, to have a creator, you have to be created. And so you'd have to uncreate yourself to actually be a true atheist. And so really what is really what's happening, to be atheistic or atheist, to be anti-theist, anti-God, or just be opposed to a God or any God, we would argue, I think, that the reason that we are anti-God is because we want to stand in the place of God. It's a First Commandment issue.
Well, sure.
When I went to Concordia St. Paul, I was an atheist, and that's a long story. I went for a girl, of course. But when you go to Concordia, you have to take two core religion classes, Old Testament, New Testament, at least I did at that time. And I got an A in both classes. I actually got the highest grades in both classes. And friends of mine who were Christians, who were pre-SEM or DCE track, asked me, I'm like, how is that possible that you got A's? You got the highest grade in both classes. You're an atheist. And I said, well, I don't have to believe what I read. I just have to memorize it and put it down on the test.
Right.
So I read it. I memorized it. I put it down on the test. And yet, talking with other atheists even today, you know, if they say, well, I don't believe in God, or if they're really honest, I don't believe in the Christian God. Mm-hmm. And I ask them, what does that mean? Like you pointed out, if I ask them, what do you mean? Like, what God don't you believe in? And the characteristics that they describe to me, I've never not said, I don't believe in that God either.
Right.
I've never not said, oh, well, I'm going to have to contradict you there. I'm going to have to take an issue with what you said. No, like every time I end up going, I don't believe in that God either.
Great.
Because what they describe is a caricature. Actually, what they describe, like we talked about in the previous episodes, was a civil religion, a god of civil religion, or a kind of moralistic therapeutic deism.
Right. So you have to have a moralistic therapeutic deity to go with it.
Right. Because nobody ever says, I reject baptism. Or, the, you know, the reason I'm not a Christian is because I no. reject my baptism. Or,
no, actually, I mean, they do have those atheist groups. That, you know, you can undo your baptism by doing some sort of ritual with a hairdryer.
Right.
Which kind of goes to show that baptism is an important, powerful thing, that something happens that they think they actually need to undo it.
Well, and even, like, the famous atheist Richard Dawkins goes to church on Sunday. I don't know if people know that. He actually does go to church on Sunday because he said he actually enjoys the liturgy of the Anglican Church.
Well, you know, it's good for you. You know, it's very utilitarian.
He says there's a lot of meaning for him in the historic liturgy and the hymnody of the church. He said, I don't believe all the God stuff, but the music and the liturgy and the words of the liturgy and the music of the liturgy, he said, there's a lot of meaning in there. And he actually encourages people to go to church, which I find fascinating. That's like, you know, putting four bullets in a gun and spinning it and going, okay, I'm going to take a shot. You're just tempting God at that point. I dare you. To talk about it from a very specifically Lutheran perspective, when we run in, you know, that we are at the same time 100% sinful, 100% righteous in Jesus, in Christ,
right.
Then that the consequence of that confession is I am 100% atheistic all the time and yet 100% Christian all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Because I want to break this down two ways because I know – pastors, we oftentimes like to joke about how many atheists there are in our church, in our churches, in our congregations, that you'll talk with people in your congregation and you're not really convinced that the baptism took.
Yeah. Well, that would be kind of all of us, really, if you get down to it. But yeah, I mean, well, Jesus talked about the weeds and the wheat growing up together, and that's what we have in our congregations.
Right. But even the old theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I can't remember what book it is right off the top of my head. It might have been Cost of Discipleship, but or Letters and Papers. But he makes the point that you know, you can't really be a faithful Christian unless you're also a faithful atheist. And what he meant was there are all of these other religions, all of these other gods, and you as a Christian have to make a confession about what you don't believe at the same time that you're confessing what you do believe. If I confess that Jesus Christ is God, then I'm saying Krishna is not.
Right.
And so for a Hindu, yeah. I'm an atheist.
that's a really different way of looking at it. I don't think people have considered that much, that talking about before, though, sometimes that, you know, even the early church.
Right. Yeah.
That they, I mean, the whole surrounding culture was paganism, polytheistic. You had your Greek gods and your Roman gods and your emperor gods and all these gods that, you know, they did not believe in.
And you were free to worship those gods so long as you worship Caesar. You had to worship Caesar. And that was the accusation that was constantly made against the early Christians was they're atheists because they refuse to worship Caesar as Lord, as God. They worship this Nazarene carpenter, this Jesus of Nazareth, as though he's God. And not only was that a politically loaded confession, because you're saying that Caesar's not the king, Jesus is the king, and he's our authority, which is why Paul includes that at the end of Romans about obeying the authorities, but also that you're being accused of being godless because they asked, you know, where's your statue? Where's your temple with your statues? Where's all the stuff that the Caesar cult has, or that the cult of Apollo or Zeus or whatever? It's like, well, we don't have that. You know, Jesus is a real guy. We don't need
a statue. We'll eat your meat. You know, you got a good butcher, but
right,
you know, we don't believe in your God.
Right. So it's not, you know, we joke about it, like I said, but the truth of the matter is every Christian is an atheist, and every atheist is making a confession of their unbelief in whatever God it is they're rejecting. But that, how should we react when someone professes to us, well, I don't believe in your God?
I would want a more detailed explanation than that, because nine times out of 10, they don't know who my God is and what he's done for them. But, you know, there's a lot of gods I don't believe in. And so, you know, depending on your perspective, yeah, you could call me an atheist too, just as a Christian.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of revolutionary for starting a conversation with a professed atheist. Say, hey, you know, me too. I don't believe in Krishna.
Right. <You know? laughs> Yes. Right. Well, and I think too, like Christopher Hitchens, who's now he died, but he always was very specific. I am a Protestant atheist. Like I reject the Protestant. So when he traveled, he would go to mosques and he would worship with those people. He would go into Hindu temples. He would go into ashrams, whatever it might be. Again, he did not believe in the God they worshipped, but mm-hmm. he had a great respect for their social service, essentially, right? That
well,
they
you know,
walked
if only
the
Pope could do the same thing.
Right. Well, and he's, you know, I'll go to a shul, but I won't go to church on Sunday because I respect the shul or I respect the mosque or I respect whatever it might be because
right.
he saw those people out doing good works. He saw them doing what they taught. Whereas when he was growing up in England and was a part of the Church of England, he did not see that. He saw people going into church on Sunday, singing the hymns, saying the words, but then leaving church and just being the same people they were there before they went in, never changing, having no interest in actually, as he said, carrying out the teachings of Jesus.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, that is a reality.
Yeah.
For a lot of Christians, but then you know, just talking from a vocational standpoint, you don't necessarily always see what good works Christians are doing. Because they just might not involve you.
Right.
They might not be public. Mm-hmm. And so you can't really judge a Christian based on what you see them doing. And being an atheist should be about the actual beliefs, in my opinion. Not just the hypocrisy that you see, because hypocrites are everywhere. We're all hypocrites. All of us.
Well, and that was my argument, though, when I was an atheist, is not only the hypocritical accusation, but also the judgmental accusation that Christians are judgmental and they're cliquish and their church is just this little social club where people get together on Sundays and all the white people go to that white church and they're upper middle class, so they're all upper middle class at that church, and all the poor, you know, all the poor black people go to the poor black church and all the Mexicans go to the Mexican church, and it's very segregated, and I don't even want to be a part of any of that, because that's, again, I'd read the Old Testament, I'd read the New Testament, and nothing that I saw happening in church reflected the teachings of the Bible about loving God and loving your neighbor. And I bring up that point because in the present tense, when the accusation is made, the same accusations that I used to make, how do we then confess to that? What is our confession?
Say, so, yeah, that's true. We do that, you know, sinned in thought, word, and deed. What we've done, we've left undone, you know.
Yeah.
Haven't loved God with our whole heart, haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves. We, you know, we admit it all. We confess it.
Right.
At least, you know, in the liturgy we do. I mean, I don't know what happens in other churches, but when you got the liturgy, you got the confession there. And we receive forgiveness for that. And that's the important part, is that, you know, we at least admit it.
And that's the absurd part of faith, is that we confess an unconditional grace, unconditional forgiveness, that no matter how bad we screw up, no matter how bad we, you know, how much we fail in loving God and our neighbor, as faithless as we are, we still can go into church and ask for forgiveness and know that we're going to receive it, that we're going to eat the body and the blood, and it's right there for us. That's absurd. It is. It's just, it's absurd.
It is. It's unbelievable.
Right, exactly.
Really, it is unbelievable.
And so as we kind of come to the end of this episode, I think that's the core, isn't that the core confession, is not to argue against the atheist and say, no, you're wrong and I'm right, but rather to confess not only our sinfulness, but to confess the absurdity of the gospel, which is that, we believe that, Jesus did do this for us. He did, you know, 2,000 years ago, he actually did die and rise from the dead. We believe that. And as crazy as that sounds, let me tell you about something that's even more absurd, more unbelievable, you know, and dive into baptism and the Lord's Supper and absolution.
I'm even more wackety than that.
Right,
but, exactly. Yeah, I mean, because it honestly is unbelievable. We would not believe it either if it were not for the Holy Spirit working through us to give us faith to believe it. You know, in some ways, it's kind of a comfort to know that we don't have to work up believing that from within ourselves. Because it is so completely crazy. and of a believer, that all these things happened, that they are for us, that, you know, contradictions and paradoxes, you just can't make sense of it, except by faith. And, you know, apart from faith, we'd all be atheists still.
Well, when I talk with atheists, that's what I say, is that I still find it all unbelievable. But God gave me the faith to believe it. That's the point, is that I still find it unbelievable, but God gave me the faith to believe it. And here's where he started with that at, with the work of the Spirit in the gifts.
And it's true whether you believe it or not.
Right,
You believing it does not make it true.
Right.
There is something to be believed when you get to that point. It's not making it up, yeah.
So don't argue, don't accuse, don't judge, just confess.
It's not going to get you anywhere. That's who we are. We're sorry.
Make a good confession. That's it. Great. Fantastic. We're at the end of the episode.
That was it. Whoa, good timing.
That went fast.
Look at that.
So again, we thank you for listening. We love you. Come back next week for a brand new podcast. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless and keep you in his baptismal grace today and forever.
Amen.
See ya.